Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Okay, this morning we are going to begin what would be normally just a basic foundation series, and there are so many different ways that it can be done, and has been done, and our main momentum in this brief introduction, basic series, will be understanding the Bible, 66 books. How can I understand this Bible if you're new to it? And understanding God and understanding the gospel. Those are going to be the kind of the thrust of this basic understanding. And so let's begin with a word of prayer. And if you're new to all of this, this will become more significant to you. And if it's you're familiar with it, you understand this prayer is not just a ritualistic prayer. It is time to test yourself to see if you're trusting in His Spirit. He is the teacher of the Word. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, as we open the Bible and grasp an understanding of the Bible itself, of You, Your Son, Your Spirit, Your Word, and the Gospel, we pray that Your Spirit will open our eyes to the things You would have us to see and understand, Heavenly Father. By no means in this basic series will we understand the full scope of the whole Bible and all the books, but Father, we'll have an understanding that when we open any book, we can grasp what's going on in it. So Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the main thing we want to look at is how to be saved eternally and how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. A lot of times preachers will talk about the fruit of the Spirit, but as to actually how to be filled with the Spirit, it is not covered. So we're going to cover how to be filled with the Spirit, but first how to be saved, because how you're filled with the Spirit is patterned after how you're saved. Now, there are many views, interpretations, denominations, movements, all with different views on how to be saved, how to be filled with the Spirit, how to live the Christian life, and they all use the same book. They use the Holy Bible. So they all use the same book, but they come out with a different views on how to be saved, how to be filled with the Spirit, how to live the Christian life. So we're going to have to cover why that happens. Now, we start off, therefore, with what's your view of the Bible. The Bible must be the final authority, and there's no other authority, no secular authority. It's divinely inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. Every part is divinely inspired. Now, the problem is, many have this view or belief of the Bible, but still so many different views on how to be saved, how to be filled with the Spirit, about God, and yet they will have the same view of this book. It is the final authority. It is the divinely inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. No outside authority, and yet so many different views. It's not like math. Everybody agrees 2 plus 2 is 4 if you're on a 10 base number system, but the Bible is totally different. Many people claim to have this view of the Bible, and you don't want to sit under a pastor who doesn't at least believe that, but even believing that is no guarantee he's going to see the truth, and we're going to see why that is the case. So many have this view of the Bible, still so many different views on how to be saved, how to be filled with the Spirit, and this is true even among evangelicals. All claim to accept this Bible as the final authority. No other book. They all use the same book. But why so many different views on being saved, being filled with the Spirit? So how is this possible and why? Now, one thing we're going to do is we're going to note that I said there are so many views on how to be saved and how to be filled with the Spirit and these things, but really there are only two. There are only really two views. One, by some works, some list, something you have to do. So there's a great variety under that. You have to do this, you have to do that. You have to do this to be filled with the Spirit, you have to do this to be saved. Or, the other view is the grace view through faith and faith alone. And again, they all use the same book. This Bible, to many, seems so confusing, so contradictory. Therefore, let's go to the original languages for the solution. Let's go to advanced education. Let's study under this doctor or that doctor who knows the scriptures and knows the languages from seminary and all. People, that does not resolve the problems. Two men can be equally genius in the languages, the Greek, or the Hebrew, Chaldean, Aramaic, and the Koine Greek. One will see works. The other will see grace through faith. So, if language or knowledge of Scripture were the key, the Pharisees of the Bible would have known it best, and they were so far off. So, does the Word of God seem confusing to many? Yes, it does. The Word of God is actually written. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to point it out to you. The Word of God is actually written to have these two different views to be seen on purpose. God does not force one view. And the Bible is written on purpose where if you want to see works, it's there. If you want to see grace through faith, it's there. So what we're going to see is the Bible actually reveals and conceals at the same time. It reveals the truth. It conceals the truth. And I'm going to show this to you. It reveals the truth. It conceals the truth. Now, before you walk away totally confused, let's take a look at a very important passage of Scripture to see these things. Let's look in the Bibles to Isaiah 28. Now, if you're new to this book, use your table of content. That's why it's there. Don't ever be embarrassed. Preacher says we're going to look at Habakkuk. I don't know where Habakkuk is. Hey, you got a table of content. Look it up. That's why it's there. In a lot of books, the table of contents, the most important pages in the book. Not necessarily in the Bible, but I'll show you why in a little while. Probably next Sunday we'll get into that. But we're going to look at the book of Isaiah, and we're going to look at chapter 28 of this book to find out why there are two major views on how to be saved, how to be filled with the Spirit. One is by works, and you have a multitude of lists there. The other is by simple grace through faith alone. Now, Isaiah 28, and we're going to start our reading in verse 9. Isaiah 28, 9. Isaiah is in the Old Testament. We'll get into some of that a little later. But Isaiah 28, verse 9. To whom would he teach knowledge? And to whom would he interpret the message? Those just weaned from milk, those just taken from the breast. All right. Now, to whom would he teach? Let's identify some of the people involved here. To whom refers to the Messiah. To Jesus Christ when he comes on earth. So when he comes, to whom would he teach? And to whom, we'll cover in a few moments as we go through this. There are two different categories that talked about here. All right, to whom would he teach knowledge? Now, by the way, in this basic series, I will not deal with the Greek and Hebrew on the board or even verbally. It's not going to serve a purpose in a basic fundamental series. But all of these things, when I say something about a word, just take my word for right now. These are the basic Hebrew, Greek understanding of the words. When you get it, if you follow through in this teaching, on a lot of my studies, I'll deal with the Greek and Hebrew. But here, the word knowledge. Now, this refers to knowledge about God, knowledge about the plan of God, knowledge about salvation, knowledge about Jesus Christ, knowledge about the Holy Spirit, knowledge about what God is doing. Now, it says, to whom would he interpret the message? Okay, to whom would he teach knowledge? Let me just quickly say, people, if you're just starting out in the Christian life in this basic series, you're going to have to be taught the truth. It's not going to be finding a church that has wonderful praise and worship. The most important thing you should look for in a church is a church where the Bible is taught, verse by verse, almost word by word, but at least verse by verse. And but so many people do not want the teaching of the Word, and that's going to be part of the problem that our Lord had in teaching. To whom would He teach knowledge? To whom would He interpret the message? So let's take a look. To whom would He interpret? Now, the word interpret means to explain. Means to explain. He's looking for someone who will listen. Not just to the message, but to the interpretation of it. Not just reading Old Testament scripture, but interpreting it. Not just the content with just knowing, but understanding the truth. And that becomes very important. Who you sit under as you grow in your Christian life, teaching you the Bible, is so important. You can't just sit under anyone. You want to know, first of all, what's his view of the Bible? Does he teach the Bible? Does he give you correct interpretation of the Bible? Does he teach you knowledge? But we'll cover these kind of things as we go through. So the question is, who has the message? Whom would he teach knowledge, and to whom would he interpret the message? Question, who has the message? Who has the Old Testament scriptures? They're the ones that he should be able to interpret the message. Interpret the Old Testament scriptures. He should be able to teach them and be able to interpret the message. Now, it says, those just weaned from the breast. Now, so we got two different groups here. In other words, we go back to that. Whom would he teach? Whom should he teach? First of all, who had the message? The people who had the message were the Jews. When Christ came, when Jesus Christ came on earth, the Jews were responsible for the Old Testament scriptures. So they are the ones he should be able to teach the message to. They are the ones who had the message. Those just weaned from the milk, this refers to the Gentiles who at the time of Jesus Christ were just starting to come in and asking about the truth. And they will make up what is called the church age, the body of Christ age that we now live in. So these are the two groups. Yeah, the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews are the ones who have the scriptures. They're the ones he should have been able to teach knowledge. They're the ones that he should have been able to interpret the message. But he was not able to do so. Cannot teach them the truth. Could not interpret the message. Why? They refused to listen. We'll see that as we go through. They rejected everything Jesus Christ teaches. Now the question is, why? Why did they refuse being taught the truth of the message? That is explained in verse 10. Verse 10 explains why. For he says, order on order, order on order, line on line, line on line, a little here and a little there. This is very important. Maybe complicated, but very important. Now, first thing I want to draw your attention to as you look at this, you will note that for he says is in italics. Now, when you see that in italics, That means it is not part of the original manuscripts. It is put in by other people. So exegetical, we have an exegetical interpreting problem. Who is speaking? What is the point here? When it says, for he says, for who says? Well, why did they add that little phrase? Okay. First of all, this is the thinking of the nation of Israel at the time of the incarnation of the God-man Jesus Christ. This is why they would not listen to his teaching. Because when they opened the scriptures, Old Testament scriptures, New Testament hasn't been written yet, the Old Testament scriptures, this is what they saw. This is what they thought the Bible was teaching. Order on order, order on order, line on line, line on line, a little here and a little there. Okay. The NIV, by the way, I'm using the New American Standard. I went into seminary as a King James soldier, but when I got into it and studied, the New American Standard, of all the versions, tries its best to stay as close as it can to the original text. Any version, you pick a version by what you're looking for. You want to know what the translators had in mind. And the NIV, the NASV, they all have different philosophies in going and interpreting it. You can see the truth under any of them. You can miss the truth under any of them. But I like the New American Standard because the New American Standard, as I said, the scholars who interpreted there tried to stay as close as they could to the original manuscripts. And if you buy a New American Standard that has added notes in the margin, where they really just couldn't make it clear in the English, they give you just a rough, raw Hebrew writing in the margin. And now the NIV holds truth to the original text, but they try to be smoother. So the NIV has become the really popular view today, and it's all right. And I prefer the NIV in this verse. Let me read the NIV, New International Version. It says, do and do, do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule, a little here and a little there. And if you don't mind, while I teach out of the New American Standard, I'm going to use the NIV here. Now, the first Hebrew word translated do and do in the NIV, order on order in the New American Standard, the Hebrew word means command. Therefore, you have do and do. Do and do. It means ordinance, injunction, commandment. Therefore, you have order, that you're ordered to do this, you're ordered to do that in the New American Standard. The NIV, do. Do this and do that. Do this to be saved, do that to be saved. Do this to be filled with the Spirit, do that to be filled with the Spirit. Do this to live the Christian life, do that to live the Christian life. So, when the Jews opened the Bible, when they opened the Old Testament scriptures, what they would see was God's commands. God commands you to do this. God commands you to do that. For me to do. Do and do. Works. Then they see God as therefore saying, if you do for me, I will do for you. That's their view of God. Very important as you start going in your Christian life and learning in the Bible is your view of God. What's your view of God? Is your view of God a God that I have to do for? Or is he a God who does for me? And this is very important. And your major denominations teach a God you have to do for. You do this and you do that. And they'll find it in the Bible. It's a point I want to point out here to you. But here we have for me to do and do, do and do. Do something to be saved. Do something to recover from sin. Do something to live my life for God. Do and do. And then next we have line on line, line on line. Now the Hebrew refers to a measuring line. Now, what do we call our measuring line in elementary school? Call that a ruler. It's a rule. A ruler. And so therefore, the NIV has rule on rule, rule on rule. And they will go through and they gather up all the rules, build rules on rules, rules on rules. So the NIV, do and do, do and do. This is their view of God. Rule on rule, rule on rule. So we must do and do, obey and obey. We have to keep in line for God to do something for us, for God to save us, for God to restore us from sin, for God to forgive us of sins that we committed that are horrible, all these types of things. And then the next phrase, a little here and a little there. Now, what does this mean? This means they search the Scriptures, see? And they gather a little from here and a little from there. A rule from here, a rule from there. A do from here, a do from there. And what do you compile? You compile your list. Do and do, do and do. Rule on rule, rule on rule. Little here and little there. For God to act in your life so as to save you, so as to restore you from sin, so as to bless you, so as to forgive you, so as to... This is a view of God. And this is a dangerous view of God. It's a wrong view of God, as we're going to see. But I just don't want to leave any misunderstanding at this point. What you believe you have to do for God to act in your life, people, is your view of God. It's your view of yourself, it's your view of sin, but it's your view of God. You're building a view of God if you say, what do I have to do for God? Do and do, do and do, rule and rule, rule and rule, little here, little there. So this verse, we have one view of God. We do for God, then God does for us. Do and do, do and do, rule and rule, rule and rule, a little here and a little there. Now people, now you're learning. Why are there so many denominations? Just drive down almost any street in America. Now, whether or not they're attended or not, but just drive down the street. To get to a church, you probably passed five or six other denominations, churches. What's the difference? You passed all these denominations. You passed movements led by men or women. And they all have their different... They've got the Baptists, Presbyterians, the Methodists, Episcopalians, the Catholics, and all. And you just keep passing them. What's the difference here? I would say it'd be nice if there was a Baptist Bible, an Episcopal Bible. Oh, and they all had their own Bible. Then you just pick your books. But that's not the case. They all use the same book. That's confusing. Just think of back in school. Got the same math book. One teacher says 2 and 2 is 5. Another says 2 and 2 is 4. Another says 2 and... Well, forget it. I'm never going to learn math. Math is very concrete. And they all agree. All the teachers agree. See? It's not so in the Christian realm. Under the Christian umbrella... Got all these different denominations, and if you ever wondered why, you've just read the verse on why. They all got different lists of what you have to do, and each one, people, can go to the Bible and prove their list. This is our list. See, here it is in the Bible. Don't ever get into a battle. I'll show you a verse, you show me a verse with you. I'll show you five, you show me five. I'll show you five. Don't do it. They have their verses. They each have them. The Bible's written that way on purpose. I'll show you that before this hour is over. The Bible is written that way on purpose. So this explains all of this stuff. So they each have their list. Each group, each denomination, each movement compose their own list from the Bible of what you have to do. And this is why they all use the same Bible to support their position. They go through this book, and they got a list here, they got a do here, they got a rule here, they got a rule over here, and they compile them. And then the Baptists come along, they go through, they got their list of do's and do's, rules and rules. And the Methodists have theirs, and all these different denominations, and they can show you in the Bible their list. They all serve and worship the same God. They all worship a God that you have to do for. On that, they are in agreement. They all worship the same God. I do for you, He does for me. So, what is your going to be your view of God? What is your view of what you have to do? Let's move along. Verse 11. Verse 11 is historical prophecy. We're not going to spend time here. It's not our purpose. Verse 11, very well then, with foreign lips and strange tongues, God will in the future speak to these people. That's historical, not part of our study. Now, in verse 12, we move to the true gospel. The true gospel. Verse 10, false gospel. Do and do, do and do. Verse 12, the true gospel from God. Verse 12, here's God's list. Here's God's list. Here is the obedience that God is looking for. He is looking for our rest. That is our faith. Faith alone. Here is true obedience that God is looking for. Faith. Our rest in His work. In what He has done for eternal life salvation, for spirituality or recovery from sin, living the Christian life. Here's the truth of the gospel. He who said to them, and this is God's true message to all, here is rest. Do you see the contrast? I hope you see the contrast in verse 12 and verse 10. See the difference here in Scripture. Verse 10, do and do, do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule, little here, little there. Verse 12, rest. Give them rest. See, the law never gives rest. Grace gives rest. A list of works gives no rest. You've always got to work. Grace has no list. It offers rest. So we have two entirely different messages from the same book. In fact, the same passage. A few verses apart. Two entirely different messages. One will see works, do and do, roll and roll, little here, little there. The other will see rest of faith. So it just depends on which you want to see. The Hebrew word for rest is in direct contrast with the word do in verse 10. And in verse 10, do and do is repeated, isn't it? Repetition. Do and do, do and do. Well, in the Hebrew, the word rest is repeated. Here's rest. Rest for the weary. Rest is the absence of work. Not doing anything, but resting on God's doing. This is the rest of faith for salvation, spirituality, living the Christian life. Here is God's message. A rest that is faith. God does not want us to work. In fact, God will not accept our work. And we'll have many illustrations of that. I just want to finish this passage in our first lesson. So, all God is looking for is the rest of faith in His work. So, the rest of grace, R-E-S-T, of grace. But unfortunately, so many are stuck on seeing works. You got to do something for God. Give rest to the weary. Now, what are they weary from? Who are the weary here? The weary are those of verse 10, do and do, do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule. Those who are working and doing. They become weary of all of that. So give rest to the weary, those who are so weary of doing, do and do, do and do, rule and rule, rule and rule. The Hebrew adjective weary is weary in the soul, faint, weak, weary of just working and trying to keep on doing. And Satan keeps on adding. Religions keep on adding, and they find more and more and more to add to their list. So weary, they can't do it all. Here, in our passage now, if you look, here is repose. Now, the Hebrew word means to lay at rest. Just the opposite picture of do and do, rule and rule. Here's repose. To rely on faith, on what God does, not on what I do. Repose means to remain still and be saved by what God does. Be delivered from sin by what God does. So people, you now have, in this basic introduction, the two views of the gospel. One says you have to do this, you have to be obedient, verse 10. And the other says you rest by faith on the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection. Got your pick. And you can't mix them. You can't put your foot on one foot on the works and one foot on the grace. It's either by grace or it's by works. One view of the gospel, do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule. The other view, rest, repose, rest from all effort, and just rest and trust Him and what He's done. And people, both are found in the Holy Scriptures. If you wish to find works, I'll help you out. I can probably find you a couple of verses you didn't even know were there on your works program, on your list. If you want to see that all God is looking for is to rest and to trust Him, that is there. The Old Testament's filled with it. So it's your view of God. It's your view of how to be saved. Now here's what most people see God is saying. If, this is God speaking, if you do, there's a key word, for me, then I, God, will do for you. And that is a promise. Trust me. So they're dealing with promise and they're dealing with faith, just trusting God. This verse is, there's a great gulf now. It says, I do for you. That's a promise. Trust me. Okay? No list here that you do. I do for you. Just trust me. I send my Son for your eternal life. Trust in Him. I send my Spirit for your spiritual life. Just trust Him. I do for you. That's a promise. Trust me. So, you got two different views of God. And most of your denominations and movements and all, if you do for me, and the only area they differ is on what you have to do. This is the difference. What's the difference between the Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, all these different ones? They have a different list of what you have to do. And people, they go to the Bible to compile their list. They can show you in the Bible their list. I can show you in the Bible, all you have to do is to trust Him, and it's called grace. It's called grace. So the Bible reveals and conceals the truth. Okay, so what is the obedience that God is looking for? Faith. Faith is the obedience. Now, we don't have time this morning, but sometime after this class is over, sometime you might want to look at Romans 1:5. And it says, the obedience that is faith. And then at the very end of Romans 16:26, at the very end, very beginning, very end, the obedience that is faith. Romans 16:26. So between the two slices of bread of the gospel, faith is the whole book of Romans supporting the obedience that God is looking for is faith. The word obedience is one of the key words that a lot of religions and denominations and movements have. Gotta obey God! Obedience! And then they give you a list. This one has their list, this one has their list. get dizzy if you just walked in and out of all of them. God says, here it is. Just trust. Just trust me. Trust the one I send. I send my Son for your salvation. I send my Spirit for your spirituality. Okay, back to Isaiah 28 here. Next we have, to me, the saddest words in the Bible. The saddest words in all the Bible. But they would not listen. It is amazing how many will not listen to just grace and faith alone. They will not listen to it. They're so convinced on their list. They're so convinced on their rules. They're so convinced on their obedience. They will not listen. And the Bible even tells you, but they would not listen. First of all, who are they? They are the Jews who, when they opened the Bible, saw do and do, rule on rule, little here, little there. These are the ones who teach do, their list. They will not listen to grace through faith. Don't even want to hear it. It insults them that you think you can get be saved by not doing our list. That you can be saved by not doing and obeying what we have come up with out of the Bible. We don't even want to hear it. Don't even want to hear it. They would not listen. They would not listen to grace through faith. They hear only works. They're not willing to listen. And what did they do, by the way? Going back to who's doing the teaching in Isaiah 28, they crucified him. We don't want you telling us the Mosaic Law is not the way. We don't want you telling us these things. Crucified. They would not listen. They crucified him. They preferred works. You will discover most difficult people to teach the truth of the gospel to are people who are sold on their religion, their list of works. They don't even want to hear faith and grace. And yet they claim they do. They claim to open the Bible. They claim to study the Bible. And indeed they do. But they will not listen to the truth. Okay. If the phrase, but they would not listen, if that phrase is indeed the saddest condition of man in the Bible, the opening of verse 13 is the most frightening. I think we have the saddest and most frightening words in the Bible. And I do mean frightening. And I'll show you why. So then, the word of the Lord to them who would not listen will become. Now do you see it? The word of the Lord. Many hold to it through the authority of the Bible. But their message is different from grace through faith. But they go to the Bible. So how does this happen? They depend so much on the Bible, how can they not say? Well, because when they go to the Bible, this is what they're going to see. So then means they would not listen to grace. And grace means no works at all. Faith only. Since they would not listen to what the Spirit says, the word of the Lord. Now, what does this refer? Fundamentally, the phrase the word of the Lord refers to the truth of the gospel. Refers to the truth of the gospel. So the word of the Lord to them, those who would not listen to the truth of grace and faith, will become. Do and do, rule on rule, a little here, a little there. Every time they open the Scriptures, every time they study the Scriptures, this is what they will see. This is the gospel. Here is the gospel. Do and do. You have to do this. You have to obey this. To be saved, to be spiritual, to live the Christian life. That's what it's saying here. So then, the Word of God to them, because that's very important, those who see do and do, will become. Every time they search the Scriptures, this is what they see. Every time they open the Bible, this is what they'll see. The gospel will be this to them. You got to work. Here it is in the Bible. This again is why the Bible reveals and conceals. This phrase, so the word of the Lord, the gospel, will to them become do and do. That's concealing the truth. It's concealed the truth. They don't want to see it. So it's concealed. It's revealed to those who want to see it. Question. Why would God do this? Why would God do this to His gospel? If you understand this, you'll understand why Jesus Christ gave the wrong answer to the rich young ruler. Did Jesus Christ give the rich young ruler the true gospel? No. How can I enter the kingdom of heaven? What did Christ say? Keep the whole law. I'm afraid had I been with the Lord, I'd have been so arrogant and so out of line, I'd have gone over and tugged on his sleeve. Psst, come over here. Come over here. Wait just a minute. You had a lapse here. That is not how you enter the kingdom, Lord. And you've told us that's not how. And then he'd have two problems on his hand. The rich young ruler and the arrogant disciple. See? So I'm glad nobody did it. But why did he do that? Why would God have, when a person opens this book, to see the gospel, to see how to be restored from sin, to see how to Christian live the Christian life, why would he have it? And every time he did that, he would see do and do, rule on rule, little here and little there. Why would he do that? Why would God cause the gospel to be read, do for me, rule for me, rule, obey my rules for me? Why would God do that to his beautiful grace gospel? Okay, take a look. So that they, now you have five steps, will go, fall backward, be injured, snared, and captured. Wow. What kind of God is this? Why would God do this to someone? I want you to look. Be sure you understand in his basic introduction what God is doing here. For those of you, some of you, when you open the Bible, this will be the gospel. Do and do. Rule and rule. Here a little. Boy, and that's it. God actually caused his word, the truth of the gospel, to become something that it is not. It is by grace. Repose, just trusting. Why would he do that? Here's the answer. So that when one sees the gospel as works for God, this is what will happen to them eventually, hopefully. Okay, let's take a look at our list. So that they open the Bible, they see do and do, rule on rule. Why would God do that? So that they will go. Alright, that's our first Hebrew word here. And it describes the beginning of this whole process. It means to go. It means to walk. It means to walk away. To depart. To get away from. Okay, what's going on here? They refuse to see and listen to the grace gospel for salvation, spirituality, blessings from God. That is, they reject the truth of the gospel. So what do? They walk away from it. I do not believe that. I do not see grace alone and faith alone. I'm walking away from that. They depart from that truth. They go their way instead of God's way. They go their way instead of God's way. Now, I've got to take you to another book in the Bible at this point in our basic study. I'd like you to find, if you don't know where it is, Galatians. It's in the New Testament. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four Gospels. Then you have the book of Acts, denoting acts that occurred. Then you have the books of Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then you have the Epistle of Galatians. I would like you to look at Galatians chapter 1 with me for a moment. Galatians chapter 1. Now, Galatians chapter 1 is probably Paul's first writing. It may be the first epistle. Some think James may be. But either James or Galatians, but it certainly is Paul's first. So it's the early part of Christianity since Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, rose again, ascended, and seated at the right hand of God the Father. Church age began very soon. Look what was already happening. Verse 6. Paul writes, I am amazed that y'all are sinning so much. That isn't what it says. Sin doesn't amaze Paul. That's understandable through the total depravity of man. This is what amazed him. I am amazed that you believers are so quickly, it just started. Christ crucified, resurrected not that many years ago, deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Now, why does he add that? The gospel they've turned to doesn't save. It's like a lot of gospels today, the Lordship gospel. And these things that we have today, they're not another gospel, though they're called that. So he says, for a different gospel. What this means is different than the one by which you were saved. You were saved by the one that says, believe on Jesus Christ, faith alone in Christ alone, and thou shalt be saved. And now you've gone to a different gospel to live your Christian life. The book of Galatians is, saved by grace, live by law. You live by the same gospel that saved you. That's why I'll use the expression in this basic series, the gospel for Christians, as well as non-Christians. So it says, you have deserted you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, because you can't be saved by it. Only there are some, these are preachers, movement leaders, denominational heads and all, some who are disturbing you, I thought it was grace, I thought it was faith, and want to distort the gospel of Christ. I want to draw your attention to the word distort. They do not take you away from the gospel. This is not atheism or something. They just tweak it. They tweak it. Ever got people who want to tweak with your computer and end up messing it up? I don't like people tweaking with my computer. Just leave it alone, unless I really know you're really a geek and know what you're doing. But you get people, let me tweak it for you. Don't tweak it. Just leave it alone. They want to tweak, distort the gospel. Just add a little work. Just add a little do and new. It's not a long list, just a little list, but once we hook you in, then the list grows long. What you got to do. But they want to distort the gospel. See, that's what they do of Christ. They want to take away the grace from you a little bit. All right, let's go back to Isaiah 28 now. Let's go back to Isaiah 28. So they will go, verse 13, That means they walk away from the truth of the gospel, and then they fall backward. This time we have two different words. The first word means to stumble, to totter, through weakness of legs, to stumble, to fall, to cast down, utter weakness. Question, over what? What caused them to stumble? What caused their legs to become weak? All the do's and do's. All the rules. I'll show you a verse later. Christ said, my yoke is light. But religion says, no, you got to do this, you got to do that. Do and do, do and do. So they become weak. So first they stumble. They walk away from grace through faith. And they become weak with all of their rules, all the law that's put on them. And this is why we have the direction of their fall. You will note the direction of their fall. They stumble backwards. Backwards is your behind part. Stumble backwards. When you reject grace through faith alone, as an unbeliever, or as a believer for spirituality, you eventually stumble backward. I'm weak. And you just fall back. Not even forward. Fall backward. Your law, your list has gotten so big, so heavy. The rules, the do's and the don'ts, and the rules and rules, and they keep adding and keep adding. The worst thing that can happen to a person is to be successful in your list. To find a denomination or a movement, and boy, this is my list. We'll see there are four major types of list categories in the under the Christian umbrella. One is morality, generally associated with Baptist. You got to be morally. This is the great demand. The other one, another one is knowledge. You got to learn, keep learning, keep learning, keep learning. Another one is the charismatic, emotional movement. Got to emote, got to emote. And the other is the service. Serve your whole life to serve. Sacrifice your family to serve. Sacrifice responsibilities to serve. And somehow that's supposed to praise God. So you pick one that you're really good at. Those that are really, really good at morality, they'll pick that, and they'll be praised by others who think that's the deal. There are others that are more cerebral, so they'll pick the Bible church. They'll pick the knowledge church. And boy, they just learn and learn. And the more you learn, the more you praise, because everybody, that's their big list. Knowledge. Then you have the emotional. Got the second blessing. Just speak in tongues again this week, all this type of thing, and you're praised because that's their standard. Then those that serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Sacrifice your family. Sacrifice everything. But you're out serving the Lord. You got the mother complex, the nurse complex, but boy, you're praised by others because, boy, I can't do that, but I really think that's wonderful. Do and do, do and do. Rule and rule, rule and rule. Here a little, there a little. And a lot of times religious experiences are not true Christianity. They're horizontal, not vertical. The person that really emphasized the emotional goes over, gets into the knowledge church, and boy, this is what it's all about. They just moved horizontally. You want a vertical. You want to move to where you're walking in the Spirit. By faith alone. So here's the stumbling backward. And the worst thing that can be happen is for you to be successful and not stumble or take a long time to stumble over your list. That's the third. The third thing in the process, be injured. When you stumble backward, you'll be injured. Injured spiritually. The word means to be injured or broken, to break down to pieces. It even means or is used to describe a broken heart, a crushed spirit. What does it mean here, injured? You know what it means here? No salvation. No deliverance. No spirituality. Only rest offers those things. See? You rest by faith, then you get those things. But when you work hard, you are injured. You don't get them. You don't get them. And then the next thing, and snared, trapped. Trapped. First you go away, stumble backward, injured, and now you're snared, trapped, trapped by your list. You're caught. And the list gets bigger until it controls your whole life. You live in fear. If I don't do this, if I don't do that, if I don't give my tithe, if I don't go to church, if I don't do this, if I don't pray, if I don't sing, if I don't do my list, whatever the list is. You live in fear of God. That's not God. People that have the most fun in life are born again believers walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. But you're trapped, snared. And then finally, captured. Captured by the law, captured by your list of works, so difficult to get away from. People that are involved and come out of these things or are in these things, it is so difficult, if not impossible, to come out of being captured by their church, their list, their works. You're trapped and you're trapped by it, captured by it. Captures us in the trap of works. Must do something for God to do for me. And the reason this happened is because I didn't do. The reason that happened is because I didn't do. Got to keep doing, keep giving, keep tithing, keep doing all of these things. Now in closing, we ask the question, why did God desire these things to happen to someone? When you stumbled, fallen backward, injured, taken captive, and someone comes along and offers you grace, you just might grab hold of it. As long as you're succeeding, you're not going to grab hold of grace. I don't need grace. I'm working for it. But if you stumble, fall backward, boy, thank God it's grace, because I just can't do it. So let's read now together our passage and see if this passage has flowed in the manner in which we have examined it. Isaiah 28, we'll start reading in verse 9. To whom would he, this Messiah, Jesus Christ, teach knowledge? And to whom would he, the Messiah, when he comes, Jesus Christ, interpret the message that they have, the Old Testament scriptures? Those just weaned from milk? Those just taken from the breast? Gentiles. Verse 10. For he says, this is what the Jews say, and the reason that he could not teach them, the reason that he could not interpret it to them. Order on order, or do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule, a little here and a little there. There's all your denominations. Indeed, he will speak to these people through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. Verse 12 is the gospel. He who said to them, here is rest. Give rest. See, the word give is in italics. It should be, here is rest, rest to the weary. Just like do and do are next to each other. In the Hebrew, rest is right next to each other, emphasizing it. Here is rest, rest to the weary. Here is repose. Just rest in what God has done. And then the saddest words in the Bible, but they would not listen. So then, the word of the Lord, that's the gospel, to them will become. Do and do, do and do. Rule on rule, rule on rule. A little here, a little there. So that, why would God do this? So that they may go away as they part away from the truth, stumble backward, be broken, snared, and taken captive, and just maybe they will respond. In the story of the rich young ruler, after he finally heard all the rules, he went away crying, Scripture says. He was broken. He couldn't do it. And I personally believe, though the Bible doesn't record it, that he came to grace. But that's just my hope. But that's the whole thing here. That the people that get so involved in their list will just eventually give up on it and respond to simple grace by faith in Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit. This concludes our first message. And next week, we're going to take a look at the great questions of the Bible and what the issues of the gospel are. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the passage we've looked at this morning. Pray, Father, that you'll take these things we've seen, cause them to be eventually become true and real and understandable in everyone's mind, and their soul becomes real in their lives. Father, we pray these things now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.